It's not about the money. It's about the relationship, and we execute. If you execute for clients, they're going to come back. Most people think that the youth is something that's going to hold them back.
Yes.
And then they're like nervous to ask people for stuff. But if you are at a young age and you're really trying to build a business, you can reach out to these mentors and they're probably going to respond. The quicker you can build a team, the more success you'll have and the further you'll be able to go. Sometimes we get too caught up in the moment and where we're going that we never look back at how far we've come. My whole philosophy is if you provide enough value to somebody, they're not going to get rid of you.
What are some mistakes people need to look out for when building an agency of this magnitude?
It has to work where it has to work.
All right, welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis. And today, as always, we got another special guest. I'm talking about big boy agency owner, entrepreneur, leader, right? All around amazing guy. And this is somebody I've been following for years on social media. Like, you ever hear the concept that your reputation precedes you. I'm still chopping those words up, but I was following this dude and he's crushing it. So I had to bring him on the show to just share how to build these agencies and do big business, man. My God, Devin Lars, what's up, bro?
What's up? I appreciate you.
Bro, appreciate you coming on, bro. Man, like I was telling you, bro, I used to follow you years ago with building brands. Yep. And I was seeing you do Golden State Warriors stadiums. Yep. Filled with shirts. I'm probably like 20, I don't know how many people the stadium is, 20,000 people.
About 25,000.
25,000 people, bro. Big brand. I love it, bro. How do you get to, most people are mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. Most people are couple hundred, like 25,000 shirts, and that's just one client. Yeah. Like, my question is, what I like to dive in on this show is, how do you build an agency of that magnitude, bro? Like, and I know you took a break off of social.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell me, first off, you was going crazy on social, then you disappeared. Tell me what happened.
So, first of all, going back to the mom and pop side of things, it starts like that.
Yeah,
100%. If you really gonna build something, you gotta start that way.
100%.
So I started off airbrushing t-shirts, doing one at a time.
Wow. When did you start that?
In 2005, my senior year in high school.
18 years ago.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah, we both 36. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Yo, you see how fast time is flying, bro?
It don't make no sense. I'm like, I've almost been doing this for two decades.
That's
when I tell people that, they're like,
no way.
Nah.
Yeah.
It just goes by quick. But it started off with airbrushing t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
where are you doing that? Out the crib?
Yep. Out of my grandfather's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just stayed committed. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. Yeah. Grew up in Richmond, California. So it was, if you're familiar with that, not the most positive environment. So there was a lot of negativity around us.
Yep.
But we kept our bubble positive and we were working. I think the biggest thing, if I had to look back and summarize everything of what got us there, is really finding mentors.
Yeah.
And people that can help you that want to see you win and are in situations that you want to be in.
That's good.
I had a mentor. I still have a mentor. I don't know, man. It's really crazy to think about how much he just took me under his wing. And he was coming up, he's like 65. And so he was in technology, ran technology businesses and stuff. And he just said when he came up, there wasn't a lot of people that look like us in business, and nobody really helped him. And he always said that if I find somebody like me, I was going to take the time to help him. And he really just helped me understand what business was, because we didn't know what we were doing.
Well,
you know. And so
what age was this?
I was, when I met him, I was 23.
Okay, got it.
And I think that's another thing too, talking to, I know a lot of young people watch your show, right? And thinking about using that youth as your advantage. Most people think that the youth is something that's going to hold them back.
Yeah.
And then they're like nervous to ask people for stuff. But if you are at a young age and you're really trying to build a business, you can reach out to these mentors and they're probably going to respond, because what you'll see is that when people get a certain level of success, their whole kind of purpose changes into helping the next generation.
100%.
And that's where they get their purpose. Not from the money. It's like, you got the money. And then when you get it, you realize the money ain't really what you're chasing. It's about the journey and the process.
That's a fact, bro. Well, what was your mentor doing? Like, what did he have a agency?
No, he had a tech company. He ran a tech company. Okay. But he just really taught me the fundamentals of business. I didn't know anything about accounting and profit and loss and, you know, P&L statements, all this stuff. I didn't know nothing about anything. We were just...
You go to college?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I was never a school person. You
finished high school?
I finished high school, barely. Yeah. I almost didn't.
Okay.
And airbrushing actually saved me to kind of get me on a better path of doing something.
Where did airbrushing come from? Did you see it somewhere? Were you this creative?
Yeah, so my best friend started, he graduated a year ahead of me, and he started airbrushing like model cars. And so I looked at him and I was like, hey, we should start like airbrushing t-shirts. And so, you know, we would see the stuff at like Great America. You go to amusement parks and you see people airbrushing. And so we started an airbrushing business and didn't have no business background. I told my grandfather, hey, I want to start this business. And he helped me buy my first piece of equipment and we got rolling.
Wow.
It was crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, so looking back, right, that's the like origin story. I think
100%.
I really am big on trying to provide value and like real actionable stuff for people that are in the trenches right now building, you know, businesses and stuff like that. And I think if you're in it right now, you're starting. The number one reason of how we've been able to build the relationships with Starbucks, Nike, the Warriors, all these big companies that we work with is relationships and providing value. And I know people say that all the time, right? On the internet, oh, provide value, but we don't have a sales team. All of these clients that we've gotten and all this work that we've done has been legitimately building relationships and providing value. My whole philosophy is if you provide enough value to somebody, they're not going to get rid of you.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. When you say that, give me an example of building a relationship. What does that look like in providing value?
100%.
Give me an example.
So I met somebody. I'll tell you how we got the Starbucks account.
Yeah.
So I met somebody. Shout out to Fred. I was doing a speaking event, and I met him, and he was a store manager in Oakland. And I would go in, and I would see him all the time at Starbucks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up getting a position at the corporate headquarters. And he reached out to me about a project. He had been following me on social media and was like, hey, we have this partner network. It's called the BPN, the Black Partner Network within Starbucks.
Mm.
We want to do a redesign and a branding logo. And at the time we charged like, I don't know, like 25,000 or something like that for a rebrand. He was like, dang, I only got like 1,500
money though,
but they didn't have no money for this specific thing in a budget. But I said, okay, you know what? We'll do this one for you, because he was like, I want to get you in with Starbucks. And so we provided
value. He had 1500.
They had their program that they wanted to design the shirts within Starbucks, this network program within Starbucks, their partner network.
Got it.
They had about a $1,500 budget.
Got it.
They wanted to do it. And they were like, I really want to hire you guys to do it.
Yep.
We don't have the 25,000, but you know, I'll try to, you know, introduce you to some people.
Yeah.
And so we did it. And I mean, that relationship led to, you know, the past year we do all of the Starbucks Reserve merchandise, so everything in the stores.
What Reserve mean?
Reserve is their high end retail stores.
Okay.
They have them in like Tokyo, New York, stuff like that, and they're like their roasteries.
Yeah.
And then we also do all of their uniforms. So for their 50th anniversary, we did 650,000 units for every employee in the U.S. and Canada to 11,000 locations.
That's crazy.
But it all started from doing that first thing at a loss. And I think most people in business always like, I need to get paid.
Mm.
And I tell people like, you're going to lose. If you're focused on getting paid up front and that's what your focus is, you're going to lose, because there's going to be somebody like us that's going to come in and do it for free to be able to build a relationship, to wait our turn, to then be able to do that. Because most of the times these big companies, they'll start working with these organizations and then they get comfortable.
Yeah.
Now they're like, oh, we have a 20,000 piece minimum. I'm like, we'll do anything.
Yeah.
We'll do 10 if you want it.
Yeah.
That's how we built with Nike too. Yeah. Same thing.
And I want to say this before you go, because I want to hear how you built the Nike relationship.
Yeah.
But I tell people this all the time, bro. This is so important. Most people miss out on opportunities because there's not a paycheck tied 100%. To them. Like, I'm like, bro, you missing the boat, man. Because you're worrying about a paycheck.
It's the wrong narrative in entrepreneurship, right? It's like, I posted a video that got a lot of views around, somebody posted like an article like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do my work for free or something like that.
Yeah.
And I did a video and I'm like, you know what? Just change your perspective on that. It's not about necessarily doing it for free. It's about the relationship. The relationship is going to get you there. It's not the short-term dollar. And I honestly learned that young with airbrushing, because I remember I used to focus on the money and I would rush the art of the shirt. And I would just pass it off to people. I wouldn't like focus on a good product. And then I realized those people would never come back to me. They would go to somebody else. Mm. And so then I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm over here rushing for the short-term dollar.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about the long-term relationship and looking at the lifetime value of this client and this opportunity. And so that I learned that young. I learned that probably like when I first started airbrushing. So probably like around 19. Yeah. And ever since then, I always changed my perspective. And I said, all right, I'm going to add value first because that money's going to come back. And I tell my team that all the time. I say, it's not about the money. It's about the relationship, and we execute. If you execute for clients, they're going to come back. 100%. And then they're going to tell their friends.
That's good.
And so that's how we built our business.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Nike.
We got introduced to them by a friend, and we did some stuff for the Warriors. They had some activation when, I think it was when KD was on the team. Mm-hmm. And then we just delivered. They would reach out to us for these small projects that their other vendors wouldn't want to do. 10 shirts, 5 shirts, stuff like that, little last
too small
minute stuff.
For me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we said, we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about like they would reach out to us on a Friday night and say, we need this for a Saturday game or Sunday. And we would have it done every single time.
Yeah.
And we built up a relationship and a reputation around the office that they were based in LA. We were in the Bay. They would bypass their LA vendors to come to us, pay more money because they knew they weren't going to have to worry about it and we were going to get it done.
Mm, they didn't have to work. Man, I wonder if they're going to actually get these shirts here or not without no excuses. Curio Agency going to get it done.
100%.
That's good.
And we just focus on delivering. And I think there's a lot. There's a ton of stuff of thinking about building businesses and growth. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned, another thing about building a business, that's relationships, how to get accounts. But how to really build your business, it's not going to go past yourself. And so I really found the better that I get, the better everything else gets and it works out. And I think that is that's the biggest hack to growing a business or in anything is work on yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's going to open up new doors.
Top 3 books for you.
Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. Number 1, for sure. Yeah. That one changed my perspective. The next one would be As a Man Thinketh.
Mm, yes. Fire.
That one.
You never go wrong with that. James Allen, right?
100%. And then there's another book called Letting Go.
Mm.
And it's just about not holding on to the past and feelings. You know, we get caught up. The mind is crazy. We create these narratives and these stories in our head and we get trapped in this cycle that we don't even realize we're in a loop of. And I think that those books really helped me put things in perspective around just let it go. Like things are going to come up. Things are going to be, challenging, but you just got to persevere and keep pushing through.
That's good. That's powerful, bro. Like, I love it. And I just want more people to, I'm just still stuck on the people will be further. Yeah. Like, I got a concept. It's called give your gift away.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most powerful principles that I've come to learn is like, if you are good at something, mm-hmm. like if you are legit good at, it should be effortless for you to do it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with speaking. So if I had to go speak for free, which I still do now, I'm going to go give you everything I got, but it isn't a struggle for me to do that. Once I'm done, it's like, cool. It's not a heavy lift. For you to go print 100, 200 t-shirts or do a design, it's not a heavy lift for you. This is what you do. And so many people want to be paid off of, give me this, give me that. You're missing out on huge relationships. I watch people get roles with me and just others by because they started with, huh, let me just do this. And they kept doing it again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let me just hire you, man.
Yeah,
that thing is a strategy right now that people, I would still be, I had this young lady come to our spot the other day. My wife, she did her brows or something. I gave her some strategy at my friend Pinky Cole event. I'm like, yo, you need to go to every influencer in here.
Yep.
Go offer to do their brow, whatever. She did makeup for free. And you just go do it. Like you gonna go to them. Don't do too much talking when you there unless they want to talk. Cause I understand these people busy. Like and just go give it away. She went and talked to Pinky. She said, yeah, come do my makeup next week. And this is a big dog. Like it's like, but I'm like, yo, you're not gonna get this client, but you're gonna go try to charge her $75. Yeah.
What is that $75 gonna do?
Like, go give it away. Shut your mouth. She might give you all type of game. But again, we so short-sighted that I would be going to do 10. I'm going to go do 10, 15 of them a week. I'm just blitzing them.
Where does that mindset come from? Because I think that, I think that there's a lot of
parenting too.
Yeah.
In your environment. Oh, why would you do that for free? Oh, they ain't paying you. How many times they told you they haven't, 100%. They ain't paying you? Why would you do that? Like, why would, that's a crazy mindset, bro.
And these people are listening to people that have never built anything.
That's it.
That's the crazy part.
Nothing going on.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, the biggest way to kill a big dream is introduce it to a small mind. They're going to talk you out of some stuff before you even, I've been to 62 countries, right? I love my grandma, God rest her soul. Prior to me traveling, grandson is dangerous. Don't go. Don't do this. Something can happen. My grandma didn't have a passport. Mm-hmm. You can't even give me that advice on traveling. You only been to one, at the time, just say she's 60 something. You only been to one state in your life. You don't have the, credentials to tell me about traveling. Yeah. And what happens, guess what happened, Dev? I would have listened and I wouldn't have been, some of my greatest experiences have been overseas. Bali, Dubai, like Philippines. Like I'm having a time of my life. I would have snubbed myself for that for listening to somebody who hadn't even been out the country.
And that's the hard part, right? People get caught up in that. And that's why I think platforms like this and just the rise of social media and content and stuff like that for people that are actually doing, you got a lot of people on the internet that are, you know, just regurgitating all the stuff and ain't really built nothing. But for the people that have really built something and like really sharing it and pushing it out, it's like that stuff is valuable. There's a reason why they have gotten there. And that goes to even like, you know, Gary Vee talks about all the time, just give it away for free.
Yeah.
You know, and good things are going to happen. And if they don't, this is the thing though, too. When people do that, they get caught up in like, okay, I gave you that, so give me this. They make it too transactional.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's where you mess up at.
You can't do that.
Because you already going in this the wrong way.
100%.
What I'm going to get out of it.
Yep.
Anybody who wants something from me, like, and I got to pay you back, dog, just don't even give it to me, please.
It's not worth
it. Let me pay for it, dog. Like, let me, whatever it is, but I ain't doing it because now I don't want to owe you.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm doing something for you, I'm just doing it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's, intentions are everything. And people ain't stupid. They know when you, like, have that energy where you want something back.
Yeah.
My thing now is, like, what I've been really thinking about, and I've, like, looked at all the people, like, I've looked at a lot of people that are really successful, and it's about connecting dots and building connections. So my thing now is like, I just want to bring people together in the right rooms and introduce people and let that magic happen. And I'm gonna win regardless.
Yep,
so I don't need to have to hard sell you on stuff. Like, I'm gonna get mine regardless. 100%. So if I could provide value and put people together and make their lives easier, that always translates to good things.
Yeah.
Even if it's just energy or karma or whatever you put out, it's not even that. And so that's my philosophy right now, is just, it's really going in on the value part and what can I do that's going to make this person's life easier? Because like Uber, you're going to use Uber. It makes your life easier.
100%.
You're not going to get rid of it.
100%.
You know, DoorDash, you're going to use it. Yep. Like, so I think just really finding what you can do to help people.
I got a side question for you.
What's that?
I'm at the NBA game at the All-Star dunk contest.
Yeah.
And Indiana the other day, and this random question, but it has nothing to do with nothing actually. But I'm at the NBA game, and we go. It's freezing in Indiana, dog. Trying to get an Uber to get to wherever I gotta go. You know, they put it in the game in a Colt Stadium, so it's not 22,000. It's probably 44,000. Like, they put it in there. They cover a portion of it, but it was still much bigger than the arena. This is so random. But I'm like, yo, what was people doing before Uber, dog? It wasn't that many. Like, what? Because I almost froze to death that night. What was people doing before Uber, bro?
And that's the thing, right? Us as humans, we get adjusted to stuff, right? Yeah. Adapted, right? Like, so people adjusted. What did we do before the internet?
Right.
You know, so when you think about all this stuff like that, that actually is a good question. I think what you're thinking about is sometimes we take for granted what we got 100%. And we don't look back at like how it used to be. And
like so reading the map
100%. Like my uncle still does that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got an iPhone, just put it. He's like, man, no, I'm looking at it. He's like, take it forever. I'm like, man, make a left.
Yeah.
You know, or like the, you have people that'll be like, okay, you're going to go down there and make a left and go two street. I'm like, man, just give me the address. I'm gonna put it in my GPS. But when you think about your journey and where you're going, sometimes we get too caught up in the moment of where we're going that we never look back at how far we've come. And I'm really starting to understand the importance of appreciating how far you've come and not just zooming in on the moment, right? Because as entrepreneurs, you get so caught up in the like, I don't have time to look back. I got to figure out, I got these projects, I got to close this, I got to move this thing around. And it messes up your perspective when you're too close to it. You know how they always say you can't see the picture when you're in the frame, right?
100%. And so
I think what I'm learning, and for people that are on this journey, is just like understand that it's a process and this is a journey. There's no end destination that you're going to get to. There's no like, okay, I reached the finish line. I mean, that's going to be when you die. But like, there's no, if you're on this path, like appreciate the path, enjoy the journey of it, enjoy the ups and downs, enjoy the struggles of it. My favorite song right now that I just discovered is from Joey Badass, and it's Life and Times. I don't know if you heard it, but anybody that's on a journey and a mission, I mean, he literally did a masterclass on life in this song.
Nice.
And
he's
just
from the Bay Area?
No, Joey Badass. He's from New York.
Okay, got
you. You don't know Joey Badass?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. Do you watch Power?
Yeah, I watch Power. Yeah, I love Power.
Do you watch Raising Kanan?
I never gotten a Raising. I tried Raising Kanan the other day, like a month ago, one episode. But the issue with me with TV is, bro, I'm up all day. By the time I get to the crib, lay down and watch it. God, five minutes. I'm out. I cannot make it past 10 minutes of Raising Kanan. It's like my fourth try because I got to watch it when I wake up or something. But
right.
I feel guilty watching TV if I get up, bro. I need to go do something.
I used to do that too. But then I realized, like, if you're a creative person, you're all this stuff, ideas come from this stuff. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need something to unwind to get your mind off of this stuff 100%. To be able to be.
And that's my productive. Basketball for me now.
Yeah. Okay.
I felt like you, how you talked about. Like early, like, bro, we talk about mental health. We can talk about, like, after a while, making money and doing it. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, it's like most people are fighting to get to that point. I promise you, when you get there, you're going to be like, what's next?
It's different than what you think.
It means it's nothing. It's fleeting, like they say, or something. I don't know if the Bible said it, but it's hard to say that when you don't have that or you're not. You know, when things may not be going in your favor, but now I found basketball for my escape. I do that 4 days a week now. Listen to this episode. You probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class. I'm not even an early person. I wake up 5 a.m. to play Tuesday, Thursdays, Fridays, Sundays at 9 a.m., Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Like us, but that's my way out. Yeah. Like that's my what I enjoy. So
yeah, you have to find those. And I remember I used to again feel guilty if you're doing something like, oh, I need to be on. I actually did a so I have a podcast and I interview different people, different creatives and stuff like that. Right. And so I had, her name is Donnie Brock and she's a graphic designer for the Seattle Seahawks. And she was talking about how I asked her, how do you like get rid of, you know, writer's block or creative blocks, right? Or procrastination. And she said, what I found out is like, for me, usually procrastination is when you're actually avoiding something and not facing it. It's something internal that you're not doing, like, oh, am I fearful I'm gonna lose this project, or, you know, do I have imposter syndrome or whatever it is. That's usually where a lot of the procrastination comes from. And it just hit me different, because I was like, damn, that's true. If like you really look at stuff and there's blocks, you got to understand, okay, what is that internally that I'm going through to navigate, to be able to work that out and to be able to execute. And so I'm just learning now, you got to roll with things.
Yeah.
You got to flow with it.
That's good. Doing everything different. Tell me what that means to you.
It's a vision that I've had since 2008.
Yeah.
It was something that came to me and I was like, I want to create this brand that means something, right? This mindset of like accomplishing stuff. You get the same thing. Insanity is doing the same thing over, expecting new results.
Yeah.
And so throughout the years, I've tried to launch several times, started, stop. But I've always had this vision of like how I wanted to see and build this brand into turning it into content and turn it into clothing and events and like all these different things. And so throughout the years, I've always had it in the back of my head. And in July of last year, we decided to, okay, we built the agency up. We have a team now. I could put a team on producing a podcast and content, and just talking to people about having real authentic conversations about life and family and business and mental health and the real stuff. Yeah. You know, not the stuff that you see, a lot of stuff that you see online that it's like, oh, you got to work and grind and do this, this, and this, but the stuff of like the imposter syndrome and dealing with all those different things. And I think it's power in your mindset and all of that stuff. And so we're really trying to build this, this conversation around what it really means to build a successful life in all facets.
That's good. I love it. And bro, when I look at you just showing me decks and just what y'all doing, I feel like y'all are doing things different with your agency. And I believe that's probably a huge reason why you stand out and why you're getting accounts like big dog stuff, right? It's not a mom and pop. It's a big brand. Like I was just looking at the gifting thing. I'm like, I want to do something like that. Like, yeah, I want to do that for some of my clients. Like
it's a dope, like what we did is, so we had our own manufacturing facility where we did all the production and everything like that.
Like the dials, for example,
for the what?
Show me dials. Like you show me like a dial. It was a it was a superhero.
Oh yeah. So we did the production, all the screen printing. So we had our screen printing.
When I was saying the dials, you showed me a dial on your phone of one of these people. Oh, Bad Bunny.
Yeah, that's Bad Bunny. So we haven't. Well, I don't know when it's gonna be released, but we don't gotta talk about that.
But yeah. I just couldn't remember.
It was the Bad Bunny action figure.
That's what it was, the wrestling one. Yeah.
What I also noticed in business is sometimes there's certain seasons for different processes in your business. And sometimes it needs to evolve and you can't be afraid to let it evolve. And sometimes it changes. So I saw social media and where everything was going and, you know, like 2015, 14, I was like, okay, this is going to be big with like influencers and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I seen the merge between this like connection between online and offline and how you communicate. And so we decided to start this agency where we kind of merged the two worlds and we did these custom gifting experiences and helped with influencers and activations and stuff like that. And it's worked. I mean, a lot of the clients are always say what's unique about us is because we do have that production background and we know that stuff. Merging that with the digital side of things kind of creates this kind of unique way of storytelling.
Yeah, that's fire, bro. You got an eye for that, bro.
And it's the team, really. I think that, I've been able to assemble the team and have this vision, but man, the team, that was the biggest.
You got all eight players?
All.
What's the process?
I said we're the Avengers. Yeah, like everybody has
supers. What's the process? How you hire your people? Like, what's the process?
I don't even have like a set process with stuff. It's just kind of, you know, we use Indeed. I mean, we got some of our best folks on Indeed randomly we got 300, 400
Indeed earlier on one of the shows we recorded. I don't think we get people from Indeed, but
we were blessed. We got four people from Indeed, superstars.
Yeah,
but I mean we got like 500, 600 applicants, so you have to like go through it. I just go off of like, honestly, what I look at, what's your energy like? Are you gonna be a team player? Are you going to be like, because there's no egos on our team right now. We're fairly small. We got about 20 people, but there's no egos. Everybody helps each other. And so I think that skills you can always kind of teach, But that attitude and the philosophy and stuff is what we really go after. And I mean, my team holds it down. It's crazy from going, I had to do every single thing. I'm talking about invoicing, deliver shirts, designing, printing shirts, customer service, emails, account, everything.
You ran the whole business.
I did everything.
But that's now, good because you know it. You know
it. I know it. But now my team handles all of it. And now, now what happens, my job has shifted into strategy and dealing with problems. So all the problems get filtered. Like, you know, and it, but I like it. I like the problem solving and the challenging. And it's just, man, I've just been in a very grateful mindset to be able to have the team and work with some people that I really, really respect and appreciate. And then having clients that we enjoy working with as well.
What are you doing to hold people accountable? I know you said you're all virtual. Like, what are y'all, certain amount of meetings y'all having? Like, what are you doing to be keeping things?
So, you know what's funny about that is we've had some people on the team that we had to let go.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what do I want to create that I wouldn't want to work for? So I don't micromanage my team. Yeah. I'm like, if the work's getting done, it's getting done. Like literally my finance director is on a plane right now to Vietnam and he's going to be traveling and working remote.
Yeah.
I'm like, as long as you're getting your stuff done and everything is done, like do it. And I support it. And so I'm like, I think that's why we've also been able to attract the talent that we have and retain them as well, because I'm trying to create an environment somewhere that I would want to work in. And what is the future of work?
I like that. Create an environment where I want to work.
100%. And
that's fire.
And I trust my team and I respect them and they get the job done. And then when they don't, we have conversations, and if it doesn't work out, then you got to let them go. But that's only happened a couple times. I've been very blessed, and the retention rate has been pretty high. I mean, a lot of the people have been with us for a long time.
Wow. That's
amazing. And I think it's also too, is like finding what each person wants and what they value. Some people want money. Some people want like to work with clients that's that they like.
Figuring that out.
That's the key.
Love language.
100. There you go. 100%. You get that right?
What's the disassessments for? I mean, what's the love language? You know, you got a love language for your spouse? Like, sure. They got that for business?
I've never heard that, but the way sure that you break that, one. That's you should do it, because it's like it makes sense, because once you get that right, people respect that.
It's like me now. I talk to people based on, especially people I may work with, like, if you are about impact, I ain't talking to you about money.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Literally.
If you're money motivated, I'm going to talk to you about money.
Yep.
Because that's what you on right now. So understanding and being able to, I don't know if that's IQ or emotional intelligence, being able to understand how to communicate with somebody is key.
It's key, man. And I think putting people in positions to win, you know, I messed up sometimes in the beginning of like putting people in positions that we needed them to play, but that they weren't really good at. And you just don't get the results. They don't like it. You don't get the results. Yep. And so it's like, it's just a waste of time. And I think as the quicker you could build a team, and it's hard when you're starting a business and you're a solopreneur or whatever, and you're just getting started, but the quicker you could build a team, the more success you'll have and the further you'll be able to go. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have learned that earlier, because I remember I had 3 employees and I just could not understand how to get past those 3. And I think just being around stuff, environments, I did this thing with Gary V's team. They do like,
yeah, I think I saw you Instagram talk about it.
And it takes like
80 y'all in the room.
It's like eight people. Like 14 grand.
That's cheap though for a day.
But it was 100. Yeah. Well, it's 2 days. So you get 90 minutes with him, and then it's his team.
Yeah,
but you go to the office and all that stuff. It's a dinner and everything.
And see how they operate with just 8 people.
Just sitting in the room.
Yeah.
And seeing, oh, this dude really got 1,000 employees.
Yeah.
Or 2,000 employees, whatever. Crazy. And like, it just gives you kind of, it gave me validation that, oh, I could do this too.
100%.
Like he's a person.
Yeah.
You know, I think you see people on the internet and all that stuff, and they seem so far out of reach. But when you get in that environment, you're like, oh, they're just like us.
100%.
And so I think, and then those conversations challenge you, right? One of his directors was like, yeah, believe it or not, $100 million company is pretty small. I was like.
Yeah. So I literally watched your Instagram say that today earlier. Yeah.
I said, that's wild. Yeah. But it just changed my perspective.
Yeah.
And I think getting around what young entrepreneurs can understand is getting around those environments, whether it's like, I'm not big on like, I guess conferences or just whatever you can do to get in that mode and get inspired and just see that it's possible to me, it just breaks through that like mental barrier because it's all mental.
Yeah.
It's a whole, it's just a mental game.
100%. Let me ask you. So you say, hey, I took off social media to build my business. What does build my business mean?
It was really building myself.
Got it.
So I had a daughter.
Yeah.
Sienna,
right?
Sienna. Yeah. And
4 and a half, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was challenging because I wasn't really ready for a kid. Relationship wasn't really
they always seem to come when you ain't ready.
I know. And I was like literally struggling. And I hit a wall. I just felt like I was too caught up in the external of posting content and making it look like I was happy when internally I just wasn't happy.
Mm.
And so
it's probably a lot of people. Yeah.
A lot of people. And a lot of people are putting up the facade, but they're not really happy and are not even just happy, just content and fulfilled, right? Happiness comes and goes, right? Yeah. So like I said that word before, but I mean just like internally peaceful with where you're at in your situation. And so I ended up like my whole life changed. I just built my business. I started going to therapy.
Therapy important.
Bro, where we grew up, therapy is not talked about.
Heck no.
It's not accepted. You soft, right? Yeah. There's all these things. But what I realized is the hardest dudes still got the struggles and all this stuff. I don't care how tough you are. When you look at Mike Tyson, right? And that's why I really respect what he's doing with his podcast. He was talking about how I was just a scared little boy and I didn't know how to manage my emotions and all that stuff. Everybody has things like that. And I think what I realized with therapy, I was like, oh, this is actually being strong, going through and working this out versus just trying to like ignore it, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, if I want to get better, I'm gonna own it because a lot of people don't own their stuff. They just like, they're good at pretending like nothing's bothering them, yep. but they really, something's really wrong.
Yeah.
And bro, it changed my life. I have, she's an older black woman that just like really helped me just process so much stuff that I was dealing with. I was struggling having a kid, everything. I was going, so I would go to her like when stuff went wrong. And I was like, man, I really need to do this work. And so I just started doing it consistently, like weekly. And the times when I was like, all right, I'm not going to get nothing from this. Like there's nothing to talk about was the times that I actually got most from it. And I realized there's a lot of stuff from our childhood that we hold on to that we don't even realize that we're carrying with us. That's affecting everything that we're doing.
That's good.
And I can't speak highly enough about doing it. If you want your life to be better, if you want your relationships to be better, if you want your overall, you want to be more successful, figure out what's going on in your head.
That's good.
Figure
that's
it powerful. Out.
And that's mental health.
It's mental health for sure. And I think there's such a stigma around it. And I was like, I want to do my job to like it's cool. Everybody thinks, oh, if you go to therapy, oh, you're crazy. Or it's like, nah, it's not about that. It's just about it's like a coach. If you look at it like a coach, yep. right? You're going to a coach. Every great athlete has coaches.
1,000%.
And so if you look at this is just a mental coach
yep.
to help you work through your stuff and understand what are your trigger points? Why do I get upset with this? Why do I do this? Why do I react this way? And then you can start like working through it and you can just, you have a better life.
Mm.
If you want a better life, you should do it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not for everybody, I guess. You know, I think it's one of those things like you got to figure out maybe you have other ways of doing it. But I would highly suggest people looking into it because it changed my life in ways I can't even explain.
It's fire, bro. Listen, this has been fire, bro. I'm happy that you pulled up and just kind of shared just building the agency, the mental health piece. What are some mistakes people need to look out for when building the agency of this magnitude that you're building? A 20-person agency. Tell me some of those big mistakes that has happened in the last year that you like, or two that you like, yo, you got to watch out for. What should we be watching out for?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is finding a balance between focusing on the details and moving forward. Sometimes you get too caught up in the details and you like want it to be perfect and then you don't push it out.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you just get too excited and push it out and then you're like, oh, dang, that didn't work.
Yeah.
So I think for us, I think the biggest mistake is just understanding that you can't do it by yourself.
100%.
I think the biggest thing of just like really letting go of control and power of stuff and like empowering your team to be able to make decisions and trusting that they're going to make good decisions is a big thing, because I would try to micromanage it first because I didn't understand how to manage. And so I would just say the biggest thing that I've learned is just finding a team that you trust them and empowering them and letting them make the decisions and let them like lead stuff and have ownership of stuff, because they're going to take care of it better.
Yeah.
So I would say that.
That's good. Agency model for you. Do you do profit share? Do you do like performance based type stuff?
Not at the moment with the profit share. We're trying to work out something similar to that.
Yeah, we are too.
I think the bonuses, we do bonuses and stuff like that. But I think also it goes back to knowing your people and what they like value. So our creative director is really into the Warriors. That's his favorite team. So like getting him tickets to go on the floor, you know, that stuff are experiences that you can't, I mean, you could buy, but it's hard to buy access to some of those 100%. Things. And so I think we really try to find alignment with the person. Like we're working on our project manager. She's really into like beauty brands. And so we got a contract, can't say the name, but with some beauty brands that she's like all about. And so now they get to work on their favorite beauty brands and do, you know, some help seating them. Kits and influence, you know,
stuff like that. What are you doing to manage projects? What software are you using?
So we use Salesforce for our CRM that we're just getting in to build it out. Yeah. We use Asana.
Yeah.
Asana is a game changer with project management.
So.
Oh, is that like Asana?
It's like Asana.
Project management.
I like Asana though. It seems cleaner to me personally.
Asana changed. We brought in Asana. We were using Monday before.
I was using Monday.
Yeah.
And we went to ClickUp.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yes.
Monday and ClickUp are essentially similar.
Similar. But
I feel like Asana seems easier.
It's easy. Yeah. I mean, we went from Monday. There's limitations.
Dummy proof, bro.
Like Asana is like that. Cause you can set up templates. I know you do it on Monday too, but there was like limitations with Monday and the UI and the whole layout wasn't that good. So we switched to Asana about a year ago. It immediately had an impact.
Wow.
Immediately.
Wow. Cause you like are in progress.
Yep.
Not
it's time. All right there.
Working on it. Yeah.
And our team is fully remote. So, I mean, we go off of that. We use Slack for all of our internal communication, have different channels. We use Zoom, of course, for all of our, you know, stuff like that. And then we have like a couple other programs that are specific, like around production. But Asana was a game changer, especially working with the remote team. You can see where everything is. That's why the finance director could be in, you know, Vietnam and we still see everything. It's all done. And he's a day ahead. So he's going to be ahead on all his projects and stuff. So that's how it works.
Hey, I want to do a game. I never did this before. I'm about to do off the top. It's going to be like laser. I wish I would have prepared. It's going to be like laser questions that you just give me an answer.
All right, let's go.
Mentor by Sam Walton or Warren Buffett? Mm.
Sam Walton. Mm. He's more my speed.
Okay. Magic Johnson mentor or Oprah?
Oh, that's a good one. Magic Johnson. I just respect what Oprah, of course, Oprah is Oprah. But Magic Johnson, the way that he's done stuff has been in business has been very unique, and I would love to learn how he has built that out for sure.
Brand to work with, Asics or Puma?
Mm. Puma. Okay. I would say Puma.
Puma. All right. Athlete you want to work with?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, okay. From Philly.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Hopefully, yep. Jalen, you hear this, man. I mean, doing everything different.
For sure.
That's it. I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna get this game right. I just came off the. That I don't want to do a game style, and I'm gonna get it dialed in. But bro, anything else you want to share with the people that I didn't ask you that you believe could be helpful for the audience? Feel free.
I just think that, again, going back to talking about how, if you want to improve any aspect of your life, it's really about developing yourself and making yourself better.
Yeah.
The better that you get, the better your world is going to get.
What are you doing currently to develop to get better, right, in this current time? You read the books.
I'm writing a lot. I'm writing a lot. So I found that like sometimes we hold stuff in our head and then we repeat this cycle in the story. And so I just been writing and getting it out.
Like
just letting
journal?
It go. Yeah. Just letting it go. It. I call it the war book, right?
However
like,
you feel, you just,
yeah, I just write it. I just, whatever I'm going with,
like I'm struggling right now with this,
struggling with my daughter because she's doing this and like business is this. And I just get it out. And then after that, it's like, all right, cool. You done? Let's roll. So with my mentor,
it's like a brain dump.
It is. With my mentor, I used to be able to, we call it vomiting, right? I'll call him, man, this employee blah did this, nah. And he was like, at the end, he's like, are you done? I'm like, yeah, all right, get back to work. So I realized you can't just do that to everybody and just like be dumping out on everybody. So it's like, how do I do that myself and become self-sufficient with it? And I think that's also what therapy has taught me. Like, she's given me the tools to be able to do it myself. So I don't need external support to be able to do it. So I'm finding processes and practices to just like get it out. And so I set up this, like, literally I have a notebook and I call it the war book. And it's like, I'm going to war with myself.
Yeah. What do you do for fun?
Watch football, but now that's over for
That's a hard question. Us entrepreneurs don't be doing a lot of stuff for fun, bro.
I'm trying to balance that out and trying to get better at that. I'm realizing like you can cultivate the life that you want.
Yeah,
and it's 100%. Not just about what got me here is not going to get me to where I want to go.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding, not good at it, but balance, you know, family time and just really trying to get better at that.
Yeah. Bro, well, thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate
you. Let everybody know how they could connect with you.
You can follow me on Instagram, YouTube, all social channels at Devin Lars. And I before we go, I just want to say I respect what you're doing.
Appreciate you.
I've been following you for, I don't even know how we connected and all that stuff, but I've been.
I found you on social media.
Yeah, same. Instagram. Yeah. And so I think that what you're doing is really dope and I respect it. Same. And I think anybody that's doing positive stuff and helping stuff, I respect. So if there's anything I can do to support, I'm with it.
Thank you, bro.
For sure.
All right, y'all. So that's another show in the book. I thought it was a powerful show. Go follow my guy. Go tap in with him. If you need agency work, make sure y'all connect with him, y'all. We'll see y'all in the next show. Peace. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below. Share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.